Did everybody get their Obamacare renewed? If not, leave immediately.
It's too late.
Leave immediately.
It's the 15th. It's too late.
Yep.
My name is Charlie Todd. This is Cody Lundquist.
Yes. We are a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
We like we like beer and we like politics. So we were like, why don't we do a show?
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is a tipsy political roundtable. Who's here for the first time? Who's at UCB for the first time? A lot of hands. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, welcome.
This show is also a podcast. We record this.
Yes. So,
you can listen to future episodes by coming back to this theater or...
and or do both.
And or listen to the podcast.
And rate and review.
And rate and review us. We have a show coming up at Bronx Brewery on January 12th, Friday, January 12th. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and they're our sponsor for the show.
They sponsor all UCB comedy podcasts, and they give us free beer. So that's nice. And we also, our next show here will be on January 22nd.
Yes.
But tonight we have a great panel. Everybody's
such a great panel. I don't know what we're going to talk about. There's not a lot to talk about.
I'm burping because I just chugged my second beer. But the premise of the show is that we get some really smart people together,
smarter
comedians.
Smarter than us. Funnier than us.
Yeah, who have all drank a little bit backstage. We're going to drink a little bit on stage and talk about the news. So let's welcome our panel.
Yeah, let's bring up our panel.
Our first guest is a writer for the program Saturday Night Live. Please welcome Josh Patton to the stage.
Our next panelist is a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers, Dina Gosowski.
And finally, we have a writer from Full Frontal with Samantha Bee and also formerly The Daily Show. Please welcome Trayvon Frey.
Oh, man. Feels good to sit. Feels good to sit down after drinking. So it's been an exciting week. I actually, you know, we do the show once a month and we do some in between. We do some... more specialized podcasts. But this month I was like, damn, there is a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. So we want to start talking about the GOP tax plan because you have to be drunk to understand it. right, guys? Everyone read it, right? Everyone here read it?
Oh, yeah, every page.
Yep.
Every page.
All of it, yeah. So it looks like it's going to pass by the end of the week, probably be signed into law. Do you think the media is doing a good job of covering the bill? It's one thing that's been pissing me off is the questions are always like, excuse me. Americans believe that this might raise their taxes. I hate when they throw the word belief in there. Like, no, just tell them that it will raise some people's taxes. Like,
some people believe it will do this and some people believe it will do that.
Everything is a this
it
or that.
It is math. It is factually doing things.
Yeah. So why can't they just cover the facts? Do you think that this is part of the problem? Why are we having a hard time stopping this and we stopped healthcare earlier?
It's so funny how afraid they are to say what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Because they think the president will tweet about them and then they'll like get in trouble if they just say what's actually happening. Like, there's no room to tell the truth anymore. You have to leave room to say, like, you didn't say a thing was actually true, but you kind of maybe might be saying it's true. But
Right. Like, you're a liar.
You might be not telling the truth all the time.
What I don't get is they had $1.5 trillion to spend. Why is everybody angry? Right? Why is the majority of people upset? If they're giving away $1.5 trillion, couldn't they have just given everybody a little bit of money?
Which is what Bush did.
That's what Bush did.
Bush literally like...
He got reelected because like you open the mailbox and like, oh, a couple hundos from the president.
I got $600, yeah. It was like a check.
Charlie, you're revealing how much money you make with that big $600 check
I think I got that because in 2005 I made no money. But, it's just like, well, can't we... like? Why are there winners and if $1.5 trillion is being given away, why are there winners and losers? Can't we all be winners?
Well, I think with the media question, like they first have to ask all these senators whether or not they actually read the bill. And like the answer is always no. And so by the time they get them to actually admit that they haven't even read the entire bill or even sections of it, they're like, all right, well, you know.
It's passed already.
Does it even matter anymore? Like we're voting for it.
I didn't have time to read it before it passed.
I thought it was pretty dope how like it was like, hobbled together like clues. Like some stuff was like crossed out and then handwritten in, and like some of it was like on a napkin or something. Like they did it like all last minute and just.
That, it looks like how people used to write screenplays in the 50s.
Yeah,
like just like stuff margins, all in the margins.
Yeah. It's like
grease
a script
on the page,
or like Claire Danes' wall in
in Homeland.
Yeah, in Homeland. Just like that.
Yeah, it's like how I would mark up a script to give the appearance that I've done more work than I have.
Pretty much like every paper I turn in college. Yep, mm-hmm, basically. Yeah, I just, I think it's frustrating. I mean, well, part of what you were talking about, Charlie, why there's winners and losers in this, a huge portion of this is going to like 50 people. A huge portion of the $1.5 trillion.
It's a big windfall for the very top.
It's hard to... the American public has a hard time digesting like complicated things. So this is complicated.
I think
you can't just say like your taxes are going up or your taxes are going down. You have to be like, well, actually, if you make X amount and you live in this state and
I think that complexity is by design because like remember like when other tax plans are like proposed or cuts are made, there's always like a hey, go to the tax calculator and figure out what you'll save, and you like put your income in and like. That's it. And like I've seen like two of them that were done by like nonpartisan sources. And you have to like enter in a lot of info to like figure it out. You have to enter in like your state, like how much your house costs, like how much of like student loan payments you have. Like there's just such a you have to basically like do your taxes to figure out what it means to you.
And then it expires in like a number of years. So they kept the corporate tax rate permanent, but then the one for the middle class are like, all right, like, you know, you get a couple $100 and then it'll expire in a few
years. It's one of those bills that's so ridiculously bad. Like the more you read about it, the more you realize just how bad it is. Like Paul Ryan is thinking of retiring after this passes, which is the equivalent of like retiring on an air ball, like as your last shot that you ever take.
But like, for him, like, this is literally like his
jerking off the tax reform since he was like 12. Mm-hmm. Like dreaming of this.
He admitted it in college. He was I thought about this.
Yeah, like to benefit, like it's so hard to benefit from this bill that they have to go out and be like, if your name's Jeff and you hula hooped when you were 7 and you tie your left shoe first and your right shoe second and you have brown hair and your grandma's name Kathy and you had a dog named Scooter, you'll save $12.
If you don't live in a state with high taxes.
If you don't live in the Northeast or the Southwest or the Midwest.
That's the thing that's so shitty. It's just so hyper-targeted towards people that live in high-tax states, which are all blue states.
Yeah.
So it's just like the tax cut for red states bill.
Basically. Do you think that this, if they do pass it, do you think that it's going to hurt them down the road? I mean, it's going to hurt the economy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to hurt. Do you think it will? Or do you think it'll be so far in the future that a Democrat will be empowered by then and they'll just blame them?
I don't think it'll hurt them because I don't know how much... who knows how many taxes they pay? Like, it's taken out of my paycheck, and then that's it, and then you move on. Like, it's very complex. For me, because I'm an idiot, it won't clock, and I don't think for a lot of people, I don't think it'll clock, like, what the change is, what the difference is, if it's just a few dollars here or there, and especially if, like, you get a tax cut. Like, you don't care. If, like, you still have a job and a tax cut, great. I think I'm different because I'm a single issue voter on the subject of rich people got too much money and we should take it.
Wait, you have a lot of tweets, right? Your tweets are really funny. It's always like, thanks for helping Hollywood elite liberals like me.
Yeah. I'm an elite Hollywood liberal and I'm getting a tax cut. So that's great. No, I think that rich people got way too much money. And like the inheritance tax thing in this is like my biggest one. Right now, if you got more than $11 million, you die, your kids can take it and no tax, and that's great. But if you got more than that, that gets taxed. They're upping that to like $22 million. So if you have between $11 and $22 million, you get like a gigantic tax cut when you die, which is crazy. Because if you're like your kids can't live off of $11 million, you raise some real shits.
But what's crazier, about that is when he said it, a room full of poor people cheered for it.
Which goes to answer your question that really nothing matters. Like, this will not hurt them.
A room full of people who
but
don't
I think
even
people,
have $50,000.
People hear estate tax and inheritance, and they think it's like, you know, when your grandma leaves you $500 because that's all she had left.
No taxes.
Medicare or Medicaid payment or whatever. So they think, they don't realize that it's...
They think they're going to be Adam Sandler in that one movie, Mr. Deeds, where someone just shows up and tells them that they actually inherited a bunch of money. Yeah. Like, and see, that's why I voted for Trump. I don't have to pay taxes.
And also, again, this is my issue. Giving your kid that much money ruins your kid. They're shitty. Trust fund kids are shitty. They're not cool. They're entitled and
that's
they're bad.
What my poor parents always
like
told me.
Yeah.
They're like, this is for your character. It's like, thanks.
It's like the villain of every like teen movie is like the rich kid's dad or the dad, his dad's rich and he like wants to shut down the ski resort and you know. Those kids suck. Anyway.
It seems like $11 million is enough money for a couple of kids to live on.
In New York City? I don't know. It's super expensive here.
And other good news, last week the FCC, led by its chair, Ajit Pai, overturned net neutrality regulations, handing more power to everyone's favorite people, the cable companies and your cell phone service provider.
What, Verizon Wireless?
Now, Josh, I have to admit, you've had a lot of hot takes on Twitter about net neutrality. I'm not really sure where you stand on this.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm trying to figure it out. Well, I work for Comcast. So I think it's great, man.
Because you work for NBC.
NBC, when Saturday Night Live is owned by, or it's on NBC, which is owned by Comcast. So
you're basically like Trump's base at this point.
Yeah,
you're
dude.
No, but you made a point that liberals are crying wolf about net neutrality because nobody's going to sort of notice.
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, it's every downside is like a very complicated thing that, again, I'm an idiot, so I don't understand it. Like, it's like this could happen, and unless like my internet bill gets replaced by like a menu of options like have been mocked up in Portuguese, like I don't think I'm gonna notice it. Does that make sense? Again, I'm trying to be against net neutrality or against net neutrality because I think it's fun to be like one of 10% of people who are against it. I think it's fun to be contrarian. But I haven't figured out why I am yet.
I think you'll notice the importance when like 10 years from now there's an election, and at the end of the election, you find out the candidate you supported, their internet traffic to their website and everything that they support was slowed down 20% compared to the person you didn't want to win, and you realize how that affects the outcome of something that used to just be a generally free thing. I think that's probably the biggest effect it'll have because you give these corporations the freedom to make choices for the best interest of customers, and it always ends up being some terrible thing that they can do to make more money and or push some agenda that some CEO might have being in the pocket of some other politician.
I think Ajit Pai's mug, his coffee mug, should like automatically disqualify him from making any decisions.
If you don't know, Ajit Pai has a giant Reese's Buttercup
that he whips out during every important like press conference.
It's like a 64-ounce coffee mug.
It makes him look like the size of Stuart Little.
Yeah.
With a regular...
To be fair, it's filled with Long Island iced teas every day.
I don't use the word douche a lot, but that guy really seems like a douche, right? He seems like the textbook definition. I mean, he made that like really lame meme video this past week of him doing a bunch of internet memes. I don't know. I think it's scary long term.
You're a content producer on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm an independent content producer. That's how I partly make my living, and I worry about having to compete against big companies that can pay for a so-called fast lane. The internet was fine in 2013, 2014, before Obama's FCC chair, Tom Wheeler, put this into place. So maybe everything will be okay, but it just gives the freedom to these horrible corporations, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Charter. I mean, just everybody hates their cable company. And I think we are going to be in a situation where, Verizon's properties that they own, like if you want to watch a video on Go90, it'll be really fast. If you have Verizon, it'll be really slow. If you have AT&T, and I don't know.
Yeah, the one thing I don't like is like the big cable companies are for it, so that's like, well, that can't
tells
be good.
You everything you need to know.
It's like getting retweeted by like David Duke or something. It's like, what? Oh man.
Well, that's interesting. Why do they want to overturn it, right? Like, or why did they?
Well,
what was the argument for it?
The funny thing is that Spectrum and Comcast and all the cable companies are saying, like, oh, don't worry. This gives us the power to do this, but we would never do that to you. But yet they're spending tons and tons of money lobbying for this to happen. So they're lobbying for this thing to happen, and they're saying, like, we just want the ability to be able to do it, but don't worry, we would never do it.
But also, Trump like doesn't understand any of this, and he's just like, "Did Obama do this?"
It's cyber. Okay, so then cyber. I'm going to end it. It's cyber. That's what he understands. It's cyber.
Right.
It's literally the only word he ever says.
It's like if you go to your wife and you're like, "I want an open relationship. Not that I want to sleep with someone else, but you know, like,
But the government shouldn't tell me that I can't cheat on you. Yeah,
wait, like, Charlie said that to me last week.
Just because I have the option doesn't mean I'm going to actually do it.
But to live in a free society, we should have the ability to fuck other people.
I should have the ability if I like wanted to, but I love you. I'm never going to do that to you. My favorite customer.
We want to talk about Russia a little bit. This week, Trump called Putin to thank him for saying nice things about the U.S. stock market and Putin's like all-day news conference. And then Putin called Trump, I think, to talk about thanks for some sort of a counterintelligence tip or something.
Has anybody written a rom-com about them yet? Because it feels like it's just like dying to be made.
It also just feels like Putin just knows, like, oh, I'm going to call Trump and tell him the stock market's great because that's how to play him. But, Dina, you were born in Russia. You probably know more about Russia than anybody else on stage. I'm curious, like, how is Putin regarded in Russia right now? Like, he has an election coming
up. There's no choice.
Right?
He's only regarded one way.
So will he be in power until he dies?
Yeah. I mean, he'll pick a successor. But the Trump is like the perfect, because, you know, Putin's a former KGB guy. So like Trump is the perfect target for someone like that, who all he needs is like flattery and just kind words and for someone to tell him how amazing he is. And that's it. So this is so easy for Putin. This couldn't have gone any better for him. But yeah, there's nothing that infuriates me more than our president not taking seriously the fact that they undermined our democracy, and they're going to continue to do that.
I think it's great that we have a real gullible president. He's just a sucker. He was like, if he was like walking through a carnival, he would lose all of his money at like a ring toss game. He's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. I was close last time. Let me try again. I got this. And I think, like, it's not, I mean, Putin knows it, obviously, because he's, like, KGB shady. If anybody hasn't seen Frontline, PBS Frontline has done, like, awesome
yes.
documentaries
yeah.
about Putin. One's, like, Putin's Game and Putin's Revenge. Go check them out. They're free online. Public TV. Great. Enjoy it while
but
we have
But they're slower now.
Yeah.
So.
It is slower, yeah.
If you don't have Verizon, it's going to be slow.
Sunny day. Yeah. And it just buffers. Yeah. This is a Sesame Street joke. Oh boy! Oh boy!
So, are the Russian people laughing at Trump, or do they like Trump? Like your baseline, you know, loyal. does everybody in Russia like, oh yeah, Trump's a great president. We like the U.S. now, or are they laughing at him?
They just kind of think what Putin thinks. So like, it's easy for them to make decisions because they really don't have to. So they actually think like, oh, this is a good leader because he likes Russia and lets us do these horrible things. And like they have jobs because a lot of them are trolls and hackers and all that. So it's like job security for them.
I mean, that's what Trump wants, right? He wants us to feel that way about him, that he just comes on and says something and we all go, yay, you're right, without any critical thinking or journalism behind it. So, you know, he certainly, it seems like Putin is the type of leader he wants to be. And he's said that before.
So there's someone running against Putin, though, right? There's a woman running against him, right?
Isn't it a sham?
And is that maybe just like...
The woman who's running against him, her dad was actually Putin's mentor and helped Putin get into power. So
it's his buddy's daughter is running against him.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, she's running against him. Just like Prokhorov also several years ago sort of ran against him, like in quotes. So he kind of like chooses who gets to run against him. And then we like pretend that people go out and they vote and they send out state media and they're like, yeah, you know, this is a free and fair election. And
what happened to Medvedev, who was like kind of in charge maybe for a little while?
He actually wasn't. He was the quote-unquote president, and now he's the prime minister. But he was never really in charge. Like, Putin was always, you know, pulling the strings. So whenever he told him to, you know, he changed the constitution, and he told him, all right, it's time to, you know, go back to doing whatever it is you were doing. They call him Little iPhone because he's obsessed with Apple products, and he's really short, so they call him iPhonechik, which is like a little iPhone. So I'm sure Putin is very happy about that.
Is Putin an Android guy? You don't know.
I can't say.
Well, Trump's an Android guy. Maybe that's why they get along.
Yeah, maybe. Well, like as if Trump does anything, but he
Putin
only knows
still
how to use
uses
Twitter.
One of those phones, like in a phone booth. Is he so paranoid of everyone else?
Yeah.
I think Trump just uses like a special like jitterbug style phone for olds. that it's just like there's just one
button. The same one they give to toddlers?
Yeah. It's just like you open it up and there's like the whole screen is just like the Twitter icon. Yep. It's just like, boom.
It's like when you're giving it to your 10-year-old and you're like, this is your first phone and I need to make sure I can see who you're calling.
Right.
You have five contacts.
Yeah.
You can call mommy, daddy. Yeah. You can call Ivanka.
Omarosa.
And you can tweet insults.
That's it.
The red button's for Putin.
So Doug Jones won a very close Senate race against alleged child molester Roy Moore. Yeah, I assume everyone here is not cheering for the alleged child molester Roy Moore, but for in fact Doug Jones. If so, hey, you know what? That's fine. We welcome all stripes here. It's, anyway, not really. He won around 1.5% by 1.5% against this accused pedophile, who also claimed that homosexuality should be illegal and that Muslims shouldn't be allowed to serve in Congress. So are Democrats like reading too much into this win? I mean, he was probably the most flawed candidate in the history.
And he only lost by 1.5%.
I know. I was like shocked. I was shocked that he won and very happy that he won, but also sort of just like, and couldn't anybody have beat Doug Jones that didn't molest children? I mean, at this point, like, should we be excited about this or should we take it at the grain of salt?
It's exciting because it's Alabama, which is like asking a hippo to do a cartwheel. Like, it... Like that, for getting Alabama to vote for a Democrat and for it to only happen by 1.5% shows you just how hard they tried not to Alabama.
But also now Doug Jones is like, yeah, we should not really pay attention to all the, you know, sexual assault allegations against Trump. So we're like, oh, we did it. And then...
Yeah, he kind of had a shitty comment on that this week. So, we'll see. He's a Democrat. Trayvon, I'm curious, like, obviously the big story of the reason that Doug Jones won is because African-Americans came out and vote, specifically African-American
white women shit the bed again. What's up, white women? Yeah, keep
white
it real.
White women suck, but white men are worse.
Yeah, but white men have a reason to vote. They're voting in their own interests. Like, white men are like, I want to stay in power.
Because I want people to keep sexually assaulting.
Yes. I want to keep being able to fuck around with 14-year-olds. White women, it's like, what is your deal? You are getting paid less. You're voting to get paid less. You're voting to be systematically oppressed. Cool, cool, cool. Open your fucking eyes. You're the only group of people that are just not paying attention.
They're the only oppressed group that is.
It's because they have to go home to white men. That's why. If they just stop dating white guys, then all of this will change. You'll see the tide turn, and over time their vote will slowly move. Oh, now I get it. I don't have to listen to him rant about Breitbart for 12 hours. I don't go make the same shitty decision in the ballot box.
So, Trayvon, do you think this is going to lead to more voter suppression in the South?
Oh, they're gonna try their hearts out. Like, they're never going to stop trying. Like, this is proof that when you see what happens when, even when they're suppressing votes, and black people have to show up in numbers that are just like record breaking.
And real early with lots of IDs like, and birth certificates.
You gotta do all, like, you have to literally be like fucking Catherine Zeta Jones in Entrapment going through like lasers to get to a ballot box if you're a black person. Like, they're gonna keep, they know if you allow oppressed minorities and disenfranchised voting blocks to vote, there's no good ideas coming out of the Republican Party. None. Like, tell me one. What's one good idea they had in the last 20 years?
Clean coal, I think, was a really good
idea. Yeah, right? Clean coal.
Again, like, guys, just to get back to it. Clean coal. Yeah. I want it to be clean.
Yeah. Like, it's
George W. Bush sent me a few $100s in 2003. Yeah, that was a great idea. I got an Xbox.
Really got me through a third of my rent in 2000. But it's one of those things that when you represent nothing about going forward, all you can do is stop people from trying to get people there. And that's what they do. Like, they know they can depend on white people. They can always depend on white voters to vote for nationalism and birtherism and all those crazy things that get them to vote. But other minorities and people don't fucking fall for it. And so that's why you have to work so hard to gerrymander, because you have to move the goalposts constantly in order to even have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, that's the shitty thing. Like, he won the Senate seat, but had it been, like, a congressional election, yeah, like,
we would have gotten one out of seven seats.
Yeah, ridiculous.
One out of seven.
Yeah, man, we're fucked.
Everyone's like, great. That's really great. I had this idea, guys, because Los Angeles is on fire at the moment. Well, luckily not, and obviously it's a tragedy and terrible, and they go through droughts. But, like, why and fires? Why don't we just have all of elite Hollywood move to the South? Let's just, like, pick up. LA is kind of just, like, not the best climate right now. It's reachable by North Korea. And if they all just decided that they were going to just, like, take up in, like, Baton Rouge or like, Mississippi, and that became Hollywood, guys, we could get another state. And have another senator.
So the plan is to just my cousin Vinny, the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're just going to do it. And, you know, because the thing is, California will always be liberal. They always have San Francisco. Come on. So let's just take L.A. and move it. What do you think, guys? No?
I would, maybe not Baton Rouge. The humidity is very terrible.
They're sort of doing it in Atlanta, right? They call Atlanta Yollywood.
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah.
Yollywood.
They still have to kind of sift through the, you know, white men who we don't yet know sexually harassed.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody,
how about all the women?
And then they can stay back.
All the
women,
Hollywood women. Leave the mess of terrible men behind, and we just start our own Hollywood. Yeah.
I pitched this as said Full Frontal. I think Meryl Streep should be president of Hollywood. Just
yes.
Like, on the whole. And, like, everything goes through Meryl.
As a member of the Screen Actors Guild, I'll vote for it.
You can't.
Yeah. I will.
Can't get past her.
So, but if Meryl Streep was the president of Hollywood, Hollywood wouldn't be great, but she would be great in it.
I see what
her movies. She's a wonderful actress. Her movies aren't that great. Florence Foster Jenkins wasn't good.
I see what you did there.
That was a terrible movie.
That was not a good movie.
But don't you say a
bad
thing
about
it. She was great in it.
She's great in anything. She's great in a paper towel commercial. She's a brilliant.
Meryl Streep is great in her sleep. There is nothing she can't do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the FBI stuff for a little bit. So the Republicans are trying to undermine the credibility of the FBI by highlighting the personal text from FBI agent Peter Sork. It's a hard name to say. Sent in 2006, where he called Trump a douche, an utter idiot, and a loathsome human. So the Republicans are saying that this shows an extreme bias in the FBI. And it's really driving me crazy because... is it an extreme bias to call someone who is an utter idiot in a text? Because it's almost like if there was like a four-year-old child running for president and some FBI agents were texting each other saying like, oh, we got to make sure this fucking four-year-old doesn't win. And then the four-year-old gets elected and everybody says like, there was a bias against the four-year-old. This is ridiculous. Like, that's how it seems to me. Do you guys think there's any scandal there?
His own Secretary of State called him a fucking moron. I mean, that's it. You know, after that, it's like...
I mean, it's also kind of silly because why are we pretending like everyone in the FBI doesn't have a political opinion? Like, just because you don't say it out loud or put it in a text doesn't mean it doesn't operate up here and it can still affect how you do your job. Like, even if he... did think Trump was an idiot, like, how does that change what's true or not, or how he does it? Like, at the end of the day, he can't make Russia be a real thing if it's not a real thing, no matter how much you hate the president.
Yeah, in the summer of 2016, if you didn't have an opinion on Hillary or Trump, then you should not be an FBI agent.
That should be something to worry about.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you if you don't have an opinion.
This has nothing to do with Trump, but if you're an FBI agent and you're having an affair and you're writing all of this down... where it's easily tracked. Like, maybe you shouldn't be an FBI
agent. Was this guy having an affair?
Yes.
Yeah. Another FBI agent.
He was texting another FBI agent who was sleeping with?
Yep.
On his work phone.
He was like, baby, I love those big old boobies. Also, Trump's a fucking idiot. That was his pillow talk? Like, she was turned on by that? Yeah. All right. I mean, I'd be turned on by it. But I have a political
My favorite, there's a great conspiracy out there. This guy's name is Peter Strzok, but it's spelled super wacky. So
it looks like Stork or Stazork.
There's a great conspiracy theory that he doesn't exist. That he is a compilation of like James Comey and McCabe and like everybody else at the FBI. And so all of his behavior is funneled through this one character.
Wait, has someone told the woman that this fake person's having an affair with that he's not real?
Well, she's
being
she's
catfished.
In on it.
Yeah.
She got catfished. Wait, is this a liberal conspiracy or conservative conspiracy?
This is a conservative. This is a full...
They're the best at conspiracies.
They're so good at it.
No one's better than them.
For people who like hate the government and think it's terrible, like they really give government people like a lot of credit for being able to pull off some crazy
so much.
Shit.
The government can't get my health care check to my house on time, but also there's a pedophile ring in a pizza shop down in Florida, yeah. And I know Hillary has something to do with it because she told James Comey to do it. It's like, really? All right.
Yeah, the government is not that good. There's not this like secret like second layer of government. If there was,
the deep state is real.
If the deep state existed, it would have prevented somebody with narcissistic personality disorder from becoming president. The fact that Trump is president proves there are no conspiracies.
There's no deep state.
We have fair elections. Yeah. Somehow an idiot became president.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Oh, I got a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy. It's what happened. So, like, the bias of FBI reminds me of, like, remember the Comey-Anthony Weiner laptop story that came out, like, October 30th of last year?
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That happened. I swear to God, I bet that happened, where they knew it was nothing and they weren't going to talk about it, because why would you talk about it? But Rudy Giuliani's friends at the FBI, like, said, like, yo, we're going to talk about this if you don't say something. Like, we're going to leak this on our own. And that's why he said it, yeah.
Yeah, all of 2016, we were hearing about how there were all these FBI bros who were Giuliani's buddies who hated Hillary. And now that we're flipping that to like...
Now the FBI is like full of hippies, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. So speaking of the investigation, do you guys think that Trump is going to fire Robert Mueller? And my like biggest problem right now is that every journalist is asking Trump if he's going to do it. Like, every time he gets off the helicopter, we're like, are you going to fire Robert Mueller? It's like, stop asking him that. Like, I think, like, we have to be careful.
But he just does things because people ask
him. Yeah, it feels like the media...
Or he might be like, sure, just off the cuff. And then we're like, fuck, we have to deal with this now.
The media feels complicit in a lot of the insane things Trump does because they keep suggesting things to him. Like, are you going to do the next more extreme thing that nobody wants you to do? And that's he's constantly asked that question.
And his dumb brain goes, I didn't know I could do that.
Exactly.
And he goes on Fox News and asks them what they think he should do. And then
I just want to hear the only questions to him should be fact. Based questions about specifics and plans, and just have him go, you know what I mean? Like, can you tell us specifically what this tax bill will do for XYZ?
Or just like, explain Medicare.
Yeah.
Like, that should be a question.
Like, what's the capital of Kentucky?
Yeah, sure.
Mitch McConnell.
But that's when he goes into word salad mode. You look at any time someone asks him like a question where he can't give you a vague answer, he just starts saying, well, you know, things are great, and we're going to make America great again, and this is like the people, and you know, like, it's just, he starts using words that don't mean anything.
There needs to be some kind of live televised interview that he can't get out of where someone just asks him what Medicare is, and no matter what he says, the person says, okay, thanks, but what is Medicare? And just do that.
I would watch that show.
Genuinely, the only time I've seen a reporter do that was last summer, Jake Tapper, about the Mexican judge.
Yeah, the Mexican judge.
He asked the same question a bunch of different times until Trump said, like, well, he can't adjudicate a case with me because he's Mexican. Right. Like, he eventually admitted that, but it was like an 8-minute segment
of the
interview.
Well, and Chris, I think they counted. It was like 26 times or something where he actually asked the same exact question to get him.
And Chris Matthews did that too, pushed him till he finally was like, well, if you believe abortion should be illegal, should people be punished? And he was like, put women in jail for having abortions. He was like, oh, if you just keep pushing him, he's like, yep, this is a thing. I'll say it.
It's so infuriating that people that have had that one-on-one chance with Trump, that not that many people have had that live interview opportunity with him, and one of them is Matt fucking Lauer. And to, like, think back to that night where Matt interviewed Hillary and interrupted her every single question and just let Trump get away with everything, and then you find out he's, like, buying dildos for his, office mates. It's sad.
To be fair, it takes up a lot of room in your brain to think about, like, what size dildo she would like and, like, what color and, like, latex. I don't know. Like, a lot, you know, a
black,
woman's preference
black.
For... Definitely black. We all want black dildos. But, you know, you just have to... It takes up a lot of space in your brain. You don't have a lot left. Yep. Okay, so I... This is...
I can't believe he... his job was so early and he still did that stuff.
Right?
He woke up, he was doing that shit at like 5 a.m.
What do you mean? He had all the time in the world. He's done at 9 a.m. He's gone shopping.
Right. We've all got a window into your sex life, Josh. You're like, I don't have sex before 7 a.m.
He wakes up, he goes to the office, it's 5 a.m. and he's like fucking locking women
in
his office.
He's in his 50s. Come on.
That's a good point. Like, breakfast, you know, it must be... I suppose it must be easier to sexually harass someone like late at night at a bar versus at like 6 a.m. Right.
Not if
like,
you have a button in your office that locks it from the inside.
Also, they're jacked up on caffeine for those morning shows. That's like 12 Diet Coke situation. They're really into caffeine.
That's a good excuse.
Right? I don't get it. Okay, so I this is my one of my favorite stories of the week. The New York Times revealed that the Pentagon is a top secret program to investigate UFOs. And it was a pet project of former Senate majority leader Harry Reid. So one thing that's really bothered me is the way journalists have been covering this. They're like making it like a cute, funny story.
They're like, all use the same fucking X-Files line. Or
yeah, the truth is out there. Okay, we'll be back. You know, it's like really fucking annoying. I personally think that $22 million is not a lot of money to study
that's
extraterrestrials. For such a religious country that just automatically just assumes that it's 100% fact that Jesus came down and made somebody his son, or gave his son and died for our sins and then was resurrected.
You totally just got Christianity wrong, but keep going.
Guys, I don't go to church. I'm revealing it. I'm revealing my atheist bias.
Just so you know.
I was going to say, I'm Jewish, but I don't think that's how that
went. It is. It's in the New Testament.
We all know that Jesus' son one day will come back, but proceed.
Just so you know, I did just leave the office writing jokes about this. And that is part of the thing I wrote today about how that's not enough money to study UFOs.
Thank you. So,
you'll
okay.
See that on Wednesday.
And then I'll know you didn't steal it from me. I know you didn't.
You'll know it already existed.
Wonderful. But it makes me mad that then they just laugh about it. I'm like, how can you think that UFOs don't exist? The universe is so vast. That has been proven that it is beyond vast. It's beyond comprehension how big it is. They're definitely aliens.
Somewhere. We may somewhere. Never see them, but somewhere in
they
the
probably
infinite
stopped
space.
By and was saw us and was like, yeah, no. And was like, we're just like, we're not going to even deal with this situation.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that we only spent $22 million.
Well, statistically, there have to be aliens, right?
You're statistically, right they're 100%
but
have
don't
to be
you think
aliens.
But don't you think it's like a waste of time to just like check like... Montana for aliens? Like, given how
that's
big...
That's not what they were doing.
Given
though,
how big the universe is, like, we should go out and, like... We should be the aliens that go out and find other people and, like, fuck with them.
We're not smart enough, man. They're the ones with the darting spaceships and the fucking...
That's where our $22 million should go to, is building darting spaceships. And then we can go to some other planet and just, like, show up to, like, just one rube and then beat it.
We just send Donald Trump on a UFO out into space and let him communicate with people. That sounds great. What do you think Mitch McConnell's secret pet projects are? What do you think he's funding right now, not telling anyone?
The lifespan of turtles.
He has a personal stake in that. You're right.
Yeah, he
You're
has right. to like... I mean, what is he, 147 now? We're never going to get rid of him.
If his neck pouch like allows him to scuba dive for like a really long time.
Can I store coins in here?
How old is he? He's probably like in his 70s, right?
It's got to be 70.
Roy Moore was 70. Moore was 70.
We're like, going to find out that Mitch McConnell's like 45.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Roy Moore at 70, he could have been in the Senate for like 20 years.
Yeah. I'm not voting for any old president. I'm done. I'm not going to vote for any old candidate for president anymore.
But why president? Because it's only 8 years.
Well, I was just thinking, like, because Donald Trump's super old. Right. I just don't...
Hillary was the same age and Bernie was older.
I know, but I think I voted for Hillary and I think it's probably the last time I'm going to vote for somebody that's that old. I should have, in the primary, voted for, like, Martin O'Malley.
Yeah, you definitely should have. He was so compelling.
But I think...
I don't think we should, like, go back a generation. Like, there was... Obama was, like, sort of a younger... And Bush and Clinton were, like, sort of all of a generation. And then, like, Donald Trump's, like, older than these guys.
Yeah.
I think that we should not... Like,
you
I
mean
totally
we should
agree.
Vote for somebody that like had the internet in college?
Yeah.
I totally agree that now there should be no president, congressperson or senator over the age of 60. I think once you cross 60, you should be moved into an advisory position to the younger people because you have knowledge of like
or
the whole
Florida
thing as a whole. But exactly. But if you are like, and the reason why I think that is because I go back to when Scalia didn't know what HBO was in like 2005. And it's like, how are you on the Supreme fucking Court?
That's like,
and you don't know what HBO is, and you're ruling on how telecommunications work.
And that's 2005, like Sopranos and The Wire.
Yeah,
were on
like
TV
how
do
you
time.
Like that? Like that doesn't make any sense. How are we? No,
but if it's not TV, but it's on TV.
You don't like. You have to. You have
no, you
to,
have Senator Ted Stevens saying level, the internet's a series of tubes. I mean, yeah.
On some level, definitely. You have to be in touch with what's happening in the country to govern the country. And if you're like
to realize that it's not okay anymore to just grab a woman's vagina.
Yeah, like
this isn't
things.
1912. We don't molest 14-year-olds, I don't think you did in 1912 either. Although in Alabama, some people thought that was okay.
I think ageism is a problem, and I don't want to like completely say that nobody over 60 should be in office.
I'm saying it right now.
Yeah, no.
Charlie's 59.
Write it down.
But I think it's somebody, maybe somebody running for president in their 70s, and we expect them to have an 8-year term. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a little old.
Advisory position.
Yeah.
It's retirement age. Just go hang out somewhere and enjoy your money.
Yeah, all of these 90, like Conyers who just resigned because...
Yeah. It was like 80s.
Yeah, it was like, I'm sorry, he can't talk about these allegations because he's in the hospital right now. How dare you? It's like, well, if he's in the hospital and he's been in the hospital, like, then don't be in the Congress. Like, come on, man, you're 90. What? Just retire. I'm ageist. I don't care.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. I'm not voting for any white men, and I'm not voting for any old people. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Had your run.
I realized I came out real hot as ageist, and I'm just gonna have to own it now.
You just now. I like go as ageist.
Yeah, and no matter what happens, this podcast is gonna go online, and yep, that's me.
Blame it on the beers.
Yep,
we'll have you back when you're 60 and see if you have the same opinion.
When I'm 60 and I have over $22 million to pass down to my kids, I will have very different opinions.
Well, do you guys think, I mean, do you think Bernie's going to run? Because Bernie's going to be really old.
He can't. Yeah, he just, no.
Just
it's like,
don't.
It's like old people that shouldn't drive, you know? Like, there should be a limit. Or, like, pass your license. It's dangerous. Just get off the road.
My grandma is almost 70, and she didn't understand how GPS could work at night.
See, that's
she
what I mean.
She thought it was a solar power technology.
Those people... should be allowed. After a certain point, things just start to go. You just can't. I love you, but no, you can't tell me if I should have health care or not. You can't.
And they're all on Medicare, too, so they're like, oh, what's the problem? I don't understand.
Right.
We went to about Omarosa briefly.
Oh, my God.
So Omarosa has left the White House. First of all, Trayvon, she was in charge of relations with the black community, I believe. And how was
never
she
never reached out to me. Didn't get a single email or phone call.
We have one person of color on the panel, and we're just like, so, did it work for you?
Did not work for me. I mean, that was like probably the first time I was happy to see black unemployment go up. It was like a great moment. Like, yeah, get her the fuck out of there. She's terrible.
Yeah, no, it was nice seeing everybody sort of dissing her on the way out.
My favorite fact about Omarosa is she finished eighth in The Apprentice, like her season of The Apprentice. She came in eighth.
And got to the White House.
Yeah.
But she was the breakout star of season one, despite, I mean, who won The Apprentice season one?
Rancic something.
Oh, Bill Rancic.
Bill Rancic. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice try.
A white man.
Like Justin Marini.
I think Omarosa is more famous than Rancic something. But.
No, I love how Juliana Rancic's husband. He's become famous.
Who? Huh?
Juliana Rancic's husband.
She's a correspondent on E! News.
Oh, okay. All right. I've really been put in my place. Sorry. Yeah. This guy's a big deal.
Anyway, the one thing she's known for, she was like not good at. She didn't even come close to winning, which I think's pretty great.
No, she got into the White House because Trump knew two black people, Herman Cain and...
Carson.
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson, yeah, Ben Carson.
He probably does know Herman Cain, too. But
he probably also knows Herman Cain.
It's great because, like, there's so much...
And OJ wasn't available.
Yeah, right?
He's coming.
What's next?
They're figuring it out now.
There's so much like day-to-day crazy that like I think like we always forget like the background crazy that it's always like cool whenever it pops up. Like Ben Carson's in charge of housing. That's nuts.
And you notice that you've not heard anything about him in the last like 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
Because he's probably stuck in another elevator this whole time. Yeah. And no one's checked on him. But that dude, he was like, what should the black, put the black guy in charge of the urban thing. It has urban in the title. Ben will know that the fucking brain surgeon should decide how poor people get housing.
We did a whole thing about him on the show, and I watched his like introductory speech to HUD employees, and he was like, when I was a kid, I loved going to the doctors to smell the alcohol from the needle swab. And then it was literally 45 minutes of like, if I drill an amygdala in your brain and go like this. And he was basically like lecturing these HUD employees about brain surgery.
Just like, oh, great. So I'll get a job as a brain surgeon now. Awesome. Thank you so much.
But also Omarosa made a comment that like she left the White House because of the lack of diversity, which was like the best thing she ever said.
Yeah, because she signed up thinking there were going to be a ton of black
people. Yeah,
because
Trump was the diversity
there.
Candidate, so she was really disappointed.
I hope when she left, she played him that clip where he was like, what do black people have to lose by voting for him? Apparently your job in the White House if you support the wrong candidate.
Do you think that Trump supporters like this kind of drama, or do you think that his base just likes him so much they deal with this kind of drama? Because, I mean, it's pretty insane. The story is pretty insane that she, like, got fired and then had to be thrown out of the White House because she was trying to run into the residence to get her job back. I mean, that's crazy. That is like some Kardashian shit.
The woman had a wedding photo shoot in the White House without permission.
With like 20 bridesmaids. Like
39 bridesmaids.
30, like, how does she even have 39 friends? Somebody definitely paid those people.
Yeah. Someone who has 39 bridesmaids is definitely not a good friend. It's like they keep 39 people because they know by the time the wedding rolls around, 10 of them are going to have dropped out. There's some drama.
But then they were like, I have to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And they all showed up.
I would show up if I thought I could have a White House photo shoot. Yep.
To answer your question, I think people like it. It's like, it's TV, you know? It's like he's a celebrity president. So, like, people knew that going in, and they get it. So it's like, I don't think it's like a net. For people who are, like, you know, on the Trump train, like, it's like part of it. You know, it's just like, that's what they voted for. That's what they signed up for. And they've been cool with that forever. You know, and I think it's fun. Because I've got to write jokes about shit like this. And it's way more fun to write Omarosa jokes than it is, like, second-term Obama jokes about the fiscal cliff.
That's true. I can attest to that.
My biggest frustration this week and really all year is just the fact that the Republicans are just not on the level at any point. And it's starting to drive me crazy that, like, the Democrats seem to be still kind of negotiating from, we're speaking with rational people and we're trying to negotiate something. And just the Republicans don't give a fuck about anything. The fact that, you know, Mitch McConnell can say, you know, we're not... The fact that the Democrats waited for Scott Brown to have a seat before they voted on Obamacare, and now there's no way Doug Jones is going to have a vote on this tax plan that's probably going to be voted on tomorrow. And that the media doesn't cover it like, oh, this is the hypocrisy. The media covers it just by saying like, oh, well, you know, the Democrats, they're nice, normal people, so they did this, and we're not going to hold the Republicans' feet to the fire because we don't expect them to do the right thing.
But what do you say after that? Like, once you point out hypocrisy, it's like, okay, then what? Like, I think that is like something that is, I don't know the answer to, because you can say like, yeah, oh, they did differently when they were out of power, now they're doing this, and it's like, yeah, okay.
Also, hypocrisy doesn't change anyone's opinion.
Yeah,
every single person in America, and part of the reason that Trump is in power is because people put a false equivalency on both parties, right? They say like, meh, everyone's corrupt, I don't trust anyone, everyone is a hypocrite, I don't trust anyone. Both parties, you know, this tax plan is being passed really quickly, but Obamacare was passed the same way.
But it's wasn't.
I know.
It wasn't. Yeah, that's the difference.
I know.
It's the most intellectually lazy argument anyone can make when they don't know anything about anything, and they get all their opinions from the lower third of a news channel, and they don't know how to do any research for themselves or look up any information and then comprehend that information to actually have an informed opinion. So you just go, you know what? Everybody's corrupt. Because that's so easy on your fucking coal-infused mush brain that refuses clean to actually cold. Fucking think about something for a second.
Yeah, just but to be fair, this stuff is really complicated, and so most people are just getting a soundbite or two a day because people are working. They don't have time to sit and listen to informative podcasts like this one that you can rate and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But I don't know that our media necessarily does a good job. They're trying so hard to be not biased that they're not reporting facts in the way that they should.
Yeah.
And so people just hear this false equivalency of, well, you know, Hillary Clinton email and Donald Trump, you know, like they just think it's the same thing. They just hear a soundbite each day. They can't digest it all.
Well, that's what news is like, cable news at least, and I'd say a lot of internet stuff, is like 98% soundbites and like little like I turn on the TV and it's like four talking heads and they're like saying zingers at each other. And so then that's how we talk as people now. Like when I go home and like visit my family or get into an argument with anybody, like I fall prey to this too. I'm trying to get a little zinger in. And it sucks. It's warped all of our brains and we don't talk about stuff right anymore. Anyway, there's no point to this.
We're really solving a lot of things today. One more, we're going to wrap up soon, but there was a list of words that were banned from the CDC.
You're picking all the things I wrote about today. I can't burn all my good jokes.
Wait a second. Does this mean that I now work for Full Frontal? Sweet.
I mean, great. You're keeping up with the news.
I'm waiting for that check in the mail. $22 million is going to be mine. My kid's going to be a rich asshole. So the Washington Post reported that the CDC received a list of banned words that they're not allowed to use at the agency. It includes vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, and science-based. So what do you think will be the long... If this is true, which it feels like it's a very well-resourced article, what do you think is the point of that, and why these words specifically and not more or less?
They're all Trump's trigger words. If he sees them, he just gets enraged.
Well, why vulnerable? Why can't we say vulnerable when talking about flu season? Right, that's what the CDC
like,
does, right?
The elderly and the young are vulnerable to getting the flu. Why can't you say that?
Because then you have to do something for these people, and they don't want to do anything for anyone. So if you don't, you know,
These assholes don't want to hear transgender. They don't want to hear about evidence or science. I mean, I don't get it, but I know that that's their thing. But I don't know. Vulnerable was one that stuck out to me. Like, what's the matter with vulnerable?
Because they only hear it in contexts that don't matter to them. It's always, none of their friends are vulnerable. So it's like,
don't say poor people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's also about like other countries. So like people who care about what's going on in the rest of the world, not just America, like that's a term that they use a lot. So like vulnerable individuals in Venezuela, Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States. But
I don't know.
Trump doesn't know that.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
But diversity? Why can't we say diversity in relation to public health crisis?
That was an Omarosa request. she was offended.
I think they should replace fetus with like sperm clumps or something. Like they should just come up with like whatever like the angle is on all these, just like way worse terms.
Knocked up egg.
Yeah.
I like sperm clump. Oh, that's so gross. That's also, it just like it implies you understand that it's not a sperm clump; it's not several sperms.
No! I have no idea how procreation happens.
Josh thinks he just squirts a bunch of sperm on the floor and it becomes a baby.
Wait, that's not how it happens.
It's into the jar.
What about jizz stain? Can we call it a jizz stain?
How about a jizz omelet?
There you go.
Jizz omelet.
We should have the right to terminate jizz omelet. Right? We can all agree with that.
My body, my jizz omelet.
Guys, we're going to end on that note.
You always end on jizz omelet. Always.
This has been
a great
panel.
What are we going to name our jizz omelet?
Let's give it up for our panel. Dina Gosovsky, Trayvon Free, and Josh Patton. We're in a golden age of political comedy on television, and these guys are writing for some great shows. So
great.
Watch their shows, and come see our show next month right here on January 22nd. Or come up to the Bronx and have some beers with us at Bronx Brewery.
Yeah.
And don't forget to vote in midterm elections.
Do it, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do hear them.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.